have separated, that's the technical word, the one that was Masada, the 54 parashas. It's very interesting how he broke up the three families between Parashas Bamidbar and Parashas Nosoi. There are three families. The family of Kohos appears in Bamidbar. What do they carry? They carry the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. What does the family of Gershon carry? They carry material. They carry the material that served to shelter the Mishkan and served as the and the curtains that shelter all the sheltering. All of the sheltering in place material was carried by the family of Gershon. Gershon means divorce. And what did they carry? They carried material that brought separation. Goresh es ben ho'amo hazois. Okay, we're saying drush now. Goresh es ben ho'amo hazois ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. The word gereshin means separation. What did Kohos carry? He carried the objects that brought separation. The courtyard, the material that brought separation between the people, those outside, those inside. And upon the horizontal surface of the Mishkan, the materials that brought separation between the elements and what's inside. And likewise, the curtain on the outside coming inside. Separation. It's rooted in his name. And then we come to Merari. Merari, I don't know what the significance in the Lashon of bitterness. Miriam is, the Lashon of bitterness. Miriam, the family of Merari, they carried the pillars, the beams, and the pillars, and all of those items which were used in the actual structure. Now, by the way, I told you it means bitterness. It's not so. The words that we always talk about very quickly is the word. Anytime you take a word, and you manipulate its vowels, it means the opposite. So Miriam, what does Miriam really mean? It means sweetness. Because a word, when the word's vowels are manipulated, it's just the opposite. More is bitter. But Mir, Yeshivas Mir. What kind of name is Yeshivas Mir? A city. It's a city in Lithuania. What's the pshat? Satmar. You know what Satmar stands for? Saint Mary. Okay, that's the MS. You see a chassid with the payas, you say you're a Ben Saint Mary. Watch out. He'll run you over. Okay, Saint Mary. Mir is a city. I don't know. I have no, there must be the etymology, I'm sure. Now if my fact checkers here are gonna be tapping away on Google, I can see already Mary ready. I see his fingers, slippery fingers there. Are on the machine trying to find the etymology of the city in Lithuania called Mir. But as far as we're concerned, you know what Mir means? Sweetness. Because Mem Resh is more Dror, bitterness. And when you manipulate the vowel from more to Mir, it means sweetness. She was called Miriam. Why? She was born in the most bitter time of Jewish history. How could a parent do that to a child, call their child Miriam? No, her father was saying that from you will come out sweetness. You will be the one, the inspiration that there should be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so here, Merari, don't look at Merari as a bitter person. Merari Pumfa Keret, he's the one who carried the structure of the Mishkan, which brought into this world sweetness to this world. Okay, now, these next sukkim begin to describe, to go into detail, all of the numbers. Okay, the numbers of the family, we're going to skip all this because there's not much here. Unless we go down, let's go down to Pasuk Mem Zayin. Pasuk Mem Zayin is the very end. Miben, let's go down to Pasuk Mem Zayin. Miben Shloshim Shor V'Malah, V'yad Ben Chamishim Shana, Kolabo La'avoid Avodas Avoida, V'avoidas Masah Ba'ohel Moed. Now what does this mean in Pasuk Mem Zayin? All of the people, we count here the three families, the family of Kohos, the family of Gershon, and then the family of Merari. And now it tells us what are the numbers. The total sum, Iben, the Pasuk concludes, Any person who entered lavod to service, to work, avoidas avoida. That's a very bizarre expression. If you were given an assignment to write a program, the spell checker would put red lines underneath these two words, this repetition, the avoidas avoida. What does this mean, avoidas avoida? Rashi, hu hashir bim tzal tayim vikinoiros. The family of Merari were the ones who sang the shir. It doesn't say this expression by the other shvatim, by the other family members. The song, bim tzal tayim, the symbols, vikinoiros, harps, shiavoida laavoida acheres. Rashi here says a mouthful. The song playing Shira was an avoida that accompanied another avoida, the avoida of bringing korbanos. When the korbanos were offered, the Levim stood on the duchan and they sang and they played musical instruments. Rashi here learns, now Rashi doesn't, but what about the singing? Is the ikar Shira bepeh? Or is the Iker Shira with utensils? Rashi does not say here. All he says is Hu Hashir, the song, which seems to mean the actual audible sound that came out of their mouth, Bim Tzal Tayim, together with musical instruments, V'china Rashi Avoida, it was a service, L'Avoida Acheres. V'Avoidas Masa Kimashmo'oi, and the carrying. Okay, that's a beautiful yisoy to learn in Rashi, Pshat, and the Pasuk of what the Bnei Merari did. It's interesting, Miriam, whose name was the same name, Miriam, similar in etymology to Merari, she also was a mumche in playing musical instruments. Vatikach, Miriam Hanavia, esatoif biyada, So Miriam, isn't that interesting? That Miriam, whose name shares the same shoresh as Bnei Merari, she also is described in the Torah as being a mumche, an expert in musical instruments. And she's described as taking out with her the musical instruments that she played after Kriyas Yamsuf. And Chazal tells us she took out the same musical instrument that she played when Amram, her father, and Yocheved remarried. So she was a mumche in musical instruments. And here by Bnei Merari, they are the ones who are described. No one else is described with this term, avoidas, avoida, an avoida for an avoida. They are the ones that would sing and play musical instruments when the avoida of the korbanos was performed.
How do we know this is only Bnei Merari?
Because
maybe
look,
all of
no, because each at the end of each section, we don't have time to go through, but at the end of each section, at the end, go back to pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav concludes counting Lamed Zayin. Eile.
These are the countings of each family.
Right.
Okay.
First, so we go through each one. Okay, now let's take a look over here at the Targum. Every time you learn Rashi, you have to always learn the Targum. You can't do one without the other. That's a rule, which we violate every single morning in the morning call by the Navi. We don't do the Targum. We really should. But over here, we have to hear the Shir's of the Targum. And the reason why here I can't, the reason why is because here I have over here on the side, I have over here this Sefer, which is off the charts. This thing called, you can see it, called Ma'at Sodi Albera Targum. That's why I'm so excited to see as on the Targum on the side, there's a very elaborate parish on the Targum. It goes to the Targum. The Sefer is really, really exceptional. And that's why I'm able to brave learning Targum with you, because I have over here not just the translation of the Targum, but a very powerful explanation. The person who wrote it, I think he passed away. in the Hakdama to this Chumash, it says over here, this is already like a later edition. This was put out over the years multiple times, and this is the newest edition. And they write in the Hakdama, the person who put this out, he did not live to see his latest edition. He died before it was published, the latest one. But in any event, we have the benefit of using the Sefer, and that's why we can translate some of the words over here. Over here, let's see what it says over here. We did over here the Rashi, that took in the Targum Pasuk Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin Mibar Tilasin Shnin Le'ila. We had Bar Cham Shin Shnin called the Asi Le'Niflach. Anyone who came to serve the Pulchan work, Pulchana. Okay, it's all he says. Le'Niflach Pulchan Pulchana. The Pulchan, the work of the work. Doesn't help us, right? It doesn't really seem to help us very much. And Pulchan matul b'mashkan zimna, and the work of carrying in the ohel moed. And the targum over here, let's see on the parish pasuk, this is pasuk mem zayin, and he doesn't have any comments. Okay, there are no comments here on pasuk mem zayin. Let's go further. Okay, pasuk mem tes al pi Hashem. Pakad oisam biyad Moshe, ish ish, through Hashem each man was numbered, through Moshe, ish ish al avoidoso, each man by his work, the al masoi, and by his burden, I mean whatever he carried, ufikudov, and his appointment, asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. Rashi, what does this mean to be Rashi? Ufikudov asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. The Osan Hapikudim Hayu B'mitzvah Miben Shleishim Shana V'ad Ben Chamishim. Okay, these men that we are discussing over here, they've been appointed. What is Rashi coming over here to say? That these people that we're counting were from 30 to 50. Unlike in Parashas Bamidbar. In Parashas Bamidbar, there were two countings. There was the counting of Klal Yisrael that was from 20 years and up. And then there was the counting of Shevet Levi that was from 1 month and up. And now we have the counting of the families of Bnei Levi that were from 30 years to 50. So this is something that is very kedai to pay attention to. When you talk about, you know, Bamidbar, Chumash Bamidbar, there are three countings. There are countings, numbers. It's called numbers. We count. The countings are different. We've already come across three very different countings. A counting from 20 and above, that was 11 shvatim. Then there is the counting of Shevet Levi. They were counted miben chodesh v'malo, 1 month and above. And now we have the counting of Shevet, of the individual groups within Shevet Levi who are eligible to serve in the various services, as we've discussed, and they are from 30 years and above. Rashi makes that point. Those that were counted over here were in the commandment to be counted from 30 years until 50 years. Targum mentes al nemad Hashem mina yosayin bidod Moshe gevar each man al polchanei on his service for his service the al matulei. For carrying, uminyonohi, it was the minyon, defaked yos, Hashem yos maishu. In explaining, Rashi is very good. Rashi here is coming to explain the repetition, the verbosity. The verbosity here is to explain that this counting was not just on the counting. Like, this counting was a special counting in addition to the previous countings, because we already counted Shevet Levi back in Parashas Bamidbar for 1 month and above. This counting is a counting from 30 years and above. Okay, now we begin the next parasha. Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lemar. Okay, now we go to the parasha. This parasha, obviously, the one here, we go a lot of Rashi's. Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lemar. Tzav es bnei Yisrael, vishach min amachane, kol tzru v'chol zav v'chol tamir l'nefesh. Okay, a new sugya. We're going to learn over here. Hashem says to bnei Yisrael, Hashem commands, send out of the camp anyone who's a tzrua. A tzrua is a person that's saras. V'chol zav. Anyone that is a Zav. A Zav is a person that has an emission. Okay, a certain type of emission. And the Chol Tamei Lo Nofesh. and anyone that is a Tomei Mace. Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Beis Savas Meishol Parsha Zon Nemer B'Yom Shukam HaMishkan. It's very important. Rashi, this parsha was said on the day when the Mishkan was erected, was established, was assembled. Ushmoine Parshos Nemer B'Yom. There were eight parshas that were said on that day. K'di'islam M'sech L'gitim Perikani Zaki. Okay, so it's first Yisoid. We're now going back in time. Parshas Nosoi is taking us back to the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was assembled. And on this day, Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu eight sections. This is one of the eight sections. Next, Mishalchu min Machne. Shalosh Machnes Hoyu Shom Mishas Chandiyas. Very important Rashi, teaching us that the Jewish people were divided into three camps. There were three camps. This Toicha Kloim, anything inside the curtains, is called Himachane Shechina. That's where Chaniyas HaLevim Saviv, and then around this section of the curtains were the Levim, K'moshe Mefurish B'Parashas B'Midbar Sinai. That's called Himachane Leviya. U'Misham V'Yatsoif Machane HaDegolim, and from there until the end of the Machane of the Degolim, L'Chol Arba HaRuchois, He Machane Yisrael. Okay, so we have a Yisoid here. There are three Machanes. Rashi's terminology is very interesting. What's Toicha Kaloim is Machane Shechina. Outside of that were the Levim, that's Machane Leviya. And then from there to the very end, he calls the Machane Digolim, the 11 tribes who encamped all around, they are called Machane Yisrael. Rashi says now, Hatzorua, an individual who has been confirmed to have Tzaras, Nishtalach, Chutz L'chulon, is sent outside all three machanes. Hazov, an individual who has an emission of Ziva. Mutar B'machane Yisrael is only sent outside of two machanes, Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya, but is allowed to be in Machane Yisrael. U'meshulach min hashtayim, U'tmei min tomei lo nefesh, Mutar af b'shel Leviya, the Einay Meshulach Ella Mishal Shechina. V'chol zeh darshu, Rabbi Seinu min ha-mikrois b'mesech t'psoch, and that is the halacha. How is that nogea oskez man hazeh? Temple Mount. What is the Temple Mount? The Temple Mount is assuming a section, the inner section of the Temple Mount is Machane Shechina. And who is not allowed to go into Machane Shechina? A Tomei Lo Nefesh. But a Zav has to be sent out even further than Machane Shechina. Must be sent out of Machane Leviya. The entire Yerushalayim today is called Machane Leviya. The entire Har HaBayis. The entire Har HaBayis is called Machane Leviya. And Yerushalayim is called Machane Yisrael, Machane Degolim. Let's clarify. Let's try to match up today what this Rashi. Rashi teaches us that in Klal Yisrael there are three Machanes. Inside the curtains, Machane Shechina. Outside the curtains, where the Levim lived, was Machane Leviya. Outside that was where the Jewish people lived. The Degolim is called Machane Yisrael. A Tomei Nefesh only has to leave Machane Shechina, but is allowed to be present in Machane Leviya, Machane Shechina. A Zav has to leave two Machanes, Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya, but is allowed to be present in Machane Yisrael. A Mitzoyra is Sholach Chutz Nigimel Machanes. Today, how do we match up these three Machanes to what we have today? Well, the Mokaim of the Azara is called Machane Shechina. Today, there are no marks. We don't really know exactly where is Machane Shechina. We have no, today, the Azara, the walls of the Azara are called Machane Shechina. Today on the Temple Mount, there's really no way of knowing exactly where were the original walls of the Azara. The walls of the Azara have been destroyed and are nowhere to be seen. It's somewhere there on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, more or less, is the Har HaBayis, which is Machane Leviya. And Yerushalayim, the old thing, Yerushalayim is Machane Yisrael. Today, are we Mitzrayim? No. Are we today have the status of a Zav? No, we're not. That's the Pashtus. We're not. So what are we today? Today we're all Tamei LaNefesh. If we're all Tamei LaNefesh, where are we not allowed to enter today, assuming that the Kedusha remains today, which itself is something of the debate. If Bizman HaZeh, the Har HaBayis has Kedusha, if it does have Kedusha, we are all Tamei Nefesh. The only place we cannot go is into the Machane Shechina. Where is the Machane Shechina? It's somewhere in the middle of the Temple Mount. Many people today feel that they are confident and they know pretty much where the Azara is, with some room of error. And that's why there are many people today who do indeed go up to the Temple Mount, and they're careful not to go in an area where they assume would be the section of Machane Shechina. Many Gedolei Yisrael object to this for different reasons. Number one, on a more of a hashkafic reason, they just feel even though technically it's permitted, it's just not the proper reverence to do so, which is a very big debate, because if it's not halacha, when you want to talk hashkafa, you're opening up, you know, you're getting into a big machlokes hashkafa. Maybe for you it's not the hashkafa. Me, it is a hashkafa. But then there's another school of thought that argues that today, who are we to say that we are not zovin? This is a real halachic challenge. There are many people who will argue that today we do not know what ziva is. And it can very well be that men are zavim. Men have had emissions, which in halacha qualify as ziva, and that would make us into a zav. And a zav has to go to a mayan, needs zayin nikiyim, and must be toivel in a mayan. What would be the nafkamina? That a man today who is a zav would not be allowed to ascend the Temple Mount, period, anywhere. Is that something which we do take into consideration? It's debatable. Okay, so these are some of the issues, but this old Rash is a very beautiful Rash. He explains these. So next, we'll be Tamil Nefesh. Let's finish up Tamil Nefesh. De Misoev Litmei Ad Nafsha De Ansha. And these Rash, he quotes the Targum. The Targum means that he's contaminated. De Misoev Litmei Nafsha De Ansha, to come in contact with the dead body. Umrani shulashon atzmos, atzmos adam b'loshon arani. Okay, so here he's telling us the word dimisoev means the bones of a person. V'har b'yesh v'b'reish rabo an dironus shochik tamya. The word tamya there means may his bones. It's a very important Rashi. Shochik atzmos, shochik tamya means may his bones be obliterated. So what do you see? You see the word over here, Tamya means bones. Bones. So again, read the words of Rashi, Tamil Nefesh, Dimisoev. The word Dimisoev means contamination. Litnei Nafsha Da Ansha. The bones of the neshama of a human being. Now that's a tremendous chiddush. A person came in contact with the bones of a human being. That's not the typical way we translate the word Tamei LaNefesh. Tamei LaNefesh means you came into the tent of a dead body. So Rashi is saying this more than that, that I guess in that tent, the bones of a person are present, and it's the bones that contaminate the person. The word Tamei means, Rashi says, means the bones. Now look at the Targum. And we'll stop with the Targum. Targum Pasuk Beis. Pakei Yos Bnei Yisrael Vishalchum Min Amachamin. Oh, no, we're going to have to do this next week because there's so much material here on this Pasuk. Oh, let's get the basics. Pakei Yos Bnei Yisrael Vishalchum Min Mash Risa. The word Mash Risa means the camp called the Skir. Rashi here translates the word Tsarua with the word Segir. What does that mean? So over here on the side of the parish of this Sefer, there's a whole pilpul, which we have to do next time. The chol didoiv, anyone, the word didoiv means to flow. The chol dim soav, anyone that is tamei, litmei. Okay, litmei means litmei nafsha da anosha, that is contaminated through the bones of a human being. This Targum is a mouthful. Rashi is a mouthful. We spent time with Rashi and Mirchem. Next time we're going to talk about the word of Didoiv, which means to flow. Ziva means there's a flow, an emission that flows from the body. And the word Sigid is the Targum's unique translation for a mitzvah, and it sheds light on the essence of what a mitzvah is. Yirtz Hashem, pick this up next week on Monday. Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow is the last day of the week because Shavuos is Thursday night. So tomorrow, Yirtz Hashem, we will learn Siddur. We'll learn tomorrow our Siddur Shir at 7:15. And we'll resume with the Chumash Rashi on next Monday, Parashas Nosoi, next Monday evening at 7:15. Thank you for joining me. Yirtz Hashem, I'll see you all tomorrow at 9:30.
Thank you very much. Good night. Thank
good night.
Take care. Bye-bye. Can I have a question?
Sure.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm listening.
Shevet Ephraim and Menashe, are they under the same degel? But you keep saying 11 Shvatim.
No, so I mean really, it's really 12. Right? It's really 13. We break up for the Golem. You're making a very good point. Why was it necessary? You're making a great point. Why was it necessary for Yaakov to add another Shevet? He Reuven v'Shimon, Ephraim v'Menashe, Reuven v'Shimon. I don't know the answer, but it's not a coincidence that if Yaakov Avinu would not have broken up Ephraim and Menashe into two Shvatim, then it would be lopsided. The Machanos, we would have on three sides three Shvatim, and on one side there'd only be two Shvatim. So maybe Yaakov Avinu, who himself, he told his children exactly how to carry his coffin when they left Egypt, have three on each side. That was part of the reason why he broke them up. So there should be three, 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 three. There should be three on each side. There should not be any, it should not be lopsided. That's an interesting idea.
Wait. Well, you have Reuven, but don't you have two and a half Shvatim in one area?
No, that was a separate thing. That's when they divided the land, when they conquered
right.
the land. So Ephraim and Menashe, Ephraim, Reuven and Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe. You're right. So that's
right.
something unique. That Chatzi Shevet Menashe was put over there. Right. That's another principle. That's where they lived, geographically
right.
on the land. But as far as the Machanos traveling in the desert, it was the Levi was in the center. And there were three Shvatim on all four sides.
I keep saying, well, it's actually 12. That's,
it's 12 because Yosef counts as two.
Counts, so
right. Yosef counts as two. That's why it's like that. Correct. That's a very good point.
Rabbi Ephraim.
Yes. Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm here.